Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 391.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first 26 verses of Luke 23. Luke 23, verses 1 through 26. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, and he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Rick Busicum, Mrs. DePuter, and Mrs. Johanna de Kock, who were all in the hospital in this past week. Also, Jeremy van Heichenbos, who is in the hospital in Calgary. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, who can approach unto thee? And thou knowest all that lies in our hearts, and what our life is. And we are privileged to come up together to thy house. And so many in this world receive not that privilege. And Lord, thou knowest that we deserve also to be cut off from that privilege and from every blessing that thou bestowest upon us and upon our children. Lord, give an impression in our hearts that we might turn from our evil ways and from all that is sinful and from all that is self. And Lord, that there might be a desire for thee,
that might live and that might burn in our hearts. It is thy holy day. And Lord, we can bring nothing to thee but a heart and a life that is full of sin. Wilt thou look upon us in and through him, of whom we have read in this morning hour, that did go before, and that did give himself so freely, amidst all the accusations that belong against us. And when he has given himself, when he was declared over and over to be without guilt. And Lord, thou knowest that we would have no answer before thee when we would come into judgment, because there is not one of us that is without sin in thy sight. Lord, wilt thou show it to us also, that we may not learn it on the day that we have to stand before thee in the judgment, that that may not be the day that our eyes go open, but that our eyes may go open in this day of grace, in this time of salvation, while thou still extendest thy hand unto us. And while thou still sayest to us, turn ye, for why will ye die? Oh, that it may make a deep impression by the power of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be stopped upon our journey from going our own way and from working out our own destruction. Lord, thy Spirit that is irresistible, and thou art stronger than we, and we can never come unto thee. Our hearts, they are full of the world. Oh, instruct us, Lord, and draw our hearts, thy bride. Did say, Lord, draw me. We will run after thee. And that is the experience of thy church. Oh, that all of us may experience the same in this morning hour. And that we also may experience that drawing that is so irresistible, that our heart may begin to burn and to yearn and to hunger and to thirst after thee in truth. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and it is thine arm that is strong to save. Oh, if thou wilt, Lord, thou canst make us clean. Thou canst wash us. Thou canst change us. Thou canst renew our hearts and renew our evil and our perverse will, that we may be a willing people in the day of thy power. Lord, wilt thou look upon thy people? For thou knowest thine own. Thou hast called them and by their name, and they are thine. And Lord, thou knowest also what lies in their hearts in this morning hour. May it be that thou would renew that which thou hast begun. And Lord, may thou also clear up the riddles that are lying in their hearts, that thou may give answers to the many questions which are therein, and that they may be given to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord, O thou who art jealous of thy own honor, wilt thou care for thy honor in the life of thy church, that they may become less and less and nothing, and that thou may become more and more and everything, and that they may be given an open eye with thy bride, to behold thee, to see thee in all thy glorious mediatorial work, and that their soul may be satisfied when they, as a Barabbas, may be set free on account of thy crucifixion, on account of the sentence that is pronounced against thee, that a people may experience that freedom that there is in thine only begotten Son. Lord, look on us in thy mercy and draw thy people, that there may also be those in whom thou truly hast begun, though they are not able to receive it of themselves, that it is thy own work. Lord, how necessary is the instruction of thy Holy Spirit, that man cannot instruct, but thou must instruct us all together. Oh, may it be in this morning that people who cannot place themselves any longer with this world may be given a name better than that of the sons and of the daughters, and that thou may reveal thyself in all their perplexities and give a solution where there is no solution. Look upon us young and old. Lord, look upon families, the parents. We have such a great responsibility to instruct our children in these truths. And Lord, oh, may thou give faithfulness and may thou give freedom. Freedom to speak of those things also in the midst of our own families, that our children may feel something of the blessedness of thy service, and that their hearts may go out after the true and the living God. Remember all that are afflicted. There are those that have been in the hospital in the week that is gone by, three in our midst. Also, her that is now in the Netherlands. Lord, wilt thou further heal and restore them to health and to strength. Humble the hearts under thy long-suffering mercies, that it may leave a lasting impression, and that the callings may be sanctified. Look upon the young child that is yet in the hospital far away. Lord, may thou give health and strength unto him who has already undergone so much in his young life. Oh, that thou would strengthen the parents. Oh, give that it also may be applied savingly in their own life. And Lord, may thou remember the child for time and for eternity. Wilt thou go before us in this day? Lord, thou knowest all our needs. Help us to do everything decently and in order. And may thou come, Lord. May thou come with thy Spirit to dwell in the midst of us and to serve us undeservedly. for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 201, stanzas 1 and 5 through 7. God loveth the righteous. His goodness is sure. He never forsaketh the good and the pure. Yet once my faith faltered, I envied the proud. In doubt and disquiet, my spirit was bowed. 1, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 201.
Thank you.
Congregation, there came a day that lame Mephibosheth was called to come in before King David. And we read that this Mephibosheth came in before him and he fell upon his face and did reverence. That man was so afraid. Can you understand that, boys and girls? Why that man was so afraid? That man, he heard out of the king, Mephibosheth, "Behold thy servant," he says. That man had no idea of what was lying in the heart of David. His expectation actually that was to hear the sentence of the king, wherewith he would be cut off out of this life. God's people, they are chosen from eternity. They are loved by the Lord with an everlasting love. And the Lord has done so much labor on the behalf of his people. And he has given even his only begotten son. And his son was willing to give his own life for his people. And yet, how many fears, how many riddles, and how many perplexities are so often living in the heart of that church. We read the psalmist, he says, "Save me, O Lord, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." There was therefore an expectation in the heart of that psalmist that he would drown in those waters. And yet that church is so safe. But it is not a strange thing that David cries. We wish to consider that together with the help of the Lord in this morning hour. Out of Luke 23, the 23rd verse, the second part. Luke 23, verse 23, the second part. "And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed." So far the words of our text. The prevailing of the voices of the Jews. First, what this prevailing appeared to be. Second, what this prevailing actually was. The prevailing of the voices of the Jews. First, what this prevailing appeared to be. And second, what this prevailing actually was. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Thus, who are they? They are the Jews. And they are the chief priests, and they are the scribes. And we read that here they are crying with loud voices. Thus we hear that mob of people, and they are crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Why is it necessary that that mob of people are crying so? Well, we can read how that Pilate is not immediately giving them their wishes. But Pilate is asking them, why? Why? What evil hath he done? Thus, that is the purpose of the court. When a man is brought with accusations into the court, then it is necessary to bring in witnesses, and it is necessary to examine and to cross-examine in order that the truth may be brought out. And then in such a court, there is always a battle. There is the battle between the truth and the lie. It is the battle between right and wrong, and the battle between the true witnesses and the false witnesses, between justice and injustice. And so we also see this here in this court. The Lord Jesus is standing in this court in judgment. He stands before Pilate, Roman governor of this Jewish nation. And then we see in this court two sides. On the one side, we see perfect innocence. That is he of whom the Father has said, "This is my beloved Son." It is he that may say so freely of himself, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" We see him standing, of whom Pilate must say over and over again, "I find no fault in this man." It is he whom the wife of Pilate, she has suffered many things in a dream because of him, and that she must declare that he is indeed a just man. That is on the one side. And on the other side in this court, we see false witnesses. We see a perversion of the truth. We see envy. And we see lying. We see a going in and out among the multitude, trying to persuade the multitude of what they should say and what they should require of Pilate. Thus, on the one side, we see Jesus, who has gone about in these 3 years of his life doing good among the people, who has healed their sick, who has recovered their lepers, who has given sight unto their blind, who has raised their dead, and who has instructed the people. Gracious were the words the people had to say that came out of his mouth. And there was no man that was able to speak, they said, as this man was able. The disciples believed in him. And they believed, they saw that he was indeed the Son of God. That it was he that God had sent into the world, that he was that Messiah that was to come. That is on the one side. And on the other side, we see the enemy. They did not believe in him. No, they hated him. They have also come to him, yes, why? That they may trap him in his words. And now they cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him, and release unto us Barabbas. Thus we see that struggle in this court over right and wrong. And when we see that struggle over right and wrong, then everyone, they are waiting to hear out of the mouth of that judge, what is it that is going to come now into the foreground? What is going to overcome? What is going to prevail? The truth or the lie? And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. That is, congregation, a mystery. You say it is the voice of the enemy that is here prevailing. To prevail, that is, to be the superior, to be the stronger one, that is the one that is overcoming. And it is the voice of the enemy, it is the voice of the lie, it is the voice of the false witness that is receiving the victory. How often, congregation, does that not happen in this life? How often does that not happen in the courts of justice, that the lie that is prevailing over the truth, that corruption that is prevailing over all of justice, that should not be surprising to us ever since our fall, because the devil himself has become the prince of this world. And the devil is the liar from the beginning. And the devil, he has his hand in so many of the workings of this world. And yet for the church of that day that was standing, that was waiting to hear that the outcome was going to be, then what a disappointment. How heavy that was for their hearts. And not only a disappointment, but it was such a great mystery. They could not believe it. And why was it such a great mystery? Because it was actually true faith that had been planted in their heart. And that true faith that believed, that was by the Holy Spirit, that believed that this was indeed the Messiah, when he had been promised unto the church in the beginning, then it was promised already by the Father that he should bruise the head of the serpent. And it was his own true people, by a true saving faith, that have given them to believe in the victory that was going to come by the hand of this Messiah. He was going to sit upon the throne. They were so sure of it from the Lord. And they were going to sit on his right and on his left, and they were going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And thus they have looked forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they looked forward to the fulfillment of that promise that God himself had given unto them, and also given them to believe with their whole heart. Oh yes, it is true that there came a time that things were not going so well at all. No, then the enmity of the scribes and of the Pharisees, that was increasing. And the Lord Jesus was not able to go to and fro as he used to go forth. And in the heart of the disciples, we read that there was fear. The Lord Jesus has to go before them into Galilee, up to Jerusalem, to Judea. That is true. Things were not going so well. But what does faith do? Oh, faith, that true saving faith that may still take hold of what the Lord has promised unto it, even though everything is seeming to come against it. And thus, they are following the Lord Jesus into that land of Judea again. And what is in their hearts? They are going to stand for the Lord Jesus. Yes, it does not look good. That is true. The enemy increases. And what are we? We are no warriors. But they say, Lord, we have two swords. And Peter, he is ready to take out that sword, ready to take out the sword when they have just a few of them standing there. And against them are all the scribes and the Pharisees, that is the established church of that time, and the Roman army. And Peter is going to take out a sword. How is that possible? Boys and girls, you remember a young boy who went to fight a giant with a sling and a stone? Why? How did he dare? He dared because he believed the Lord was going to help him. And Peter dared because he believed with his whole heart that no matter what came against them, that the Lord Jesus was going to be that Messiah and that he was going to receive the victory. And then the Lord Jesus says, Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. He is not even going to fight. He is going to give himself so freely over into the hands of the enemy. And Peter and the disciples, they cannot believe that. No, now they are offended in him. As he said, when he will not even fight for himself. And now, finally, in a court of justice, and then they are looking, and they are expecting. How is it possible that it can go in any other way? But that Pilate, over and over again, I will therefore chastise him and release him. Oh, how good that has rung in the ears of his children. And their expectation is increasing. And they say, yes, and that is now the way it has to go. And then the Lord Jesus has to be released. Pilate is going to let him go. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevail. Oh, then still, even in the end, then the enemy has wrapped it completely up. There is one other place that this same word prevail is used in the Bible. And that is when the Lord Jesus has spoken unto Peter, and that he said to him that the gates of hell shall not prevail. That was the promise of Christ to his own church, to his own children. And thus, when the voices of them and of the chief priests prevail, then it seems to them to be in absolute direct contradiction to the promise which was given unto them by the Lord. Because now has not the enemy prevailed? Has now not the enemy won that victory, won that battle? And what has now become of all the expectations of that true church of God and all their hopes? Then they are put to shame. And the church is scattered. They flee. Is that really so? Is that really reality when the enemy certainly seems to have gained the victory? We see that in our second thought. What is prevailing actually was. Thus, it is not always in reality what it seems to be very much unto you and me, unto them, and unto that church of God. There was no struggle for true justice within this court. Pilate, with all that he has spoken, was no just judge. He did give no concern about justice and truth. It appeared very differently by his words. Why? What evil hath he done? Just as if he were here a just judge and he wanted to do right. But it is all but a pretense. That struggle, that true struggle to be right with the law that is lying only in the heart of the true church of God. With fallen men, then there may be a pretense, but there are so many other motives that are working in the heart of fallen men. Why does Pilate do this? Why does Pilate say this? Well, Pilate also has a struggle. That is not between right and wrong, but that is between his superstitious fears and the favor of Caesar. There is pressure upon Pilate. He does not feel able to do right and wrong. And there are so many things that are coming over top of right and wrong for this man. He is a man that is actually under the dominion of Satan. And Satan is giving his subjects a perpetual unrest. There is no peace, congregation, unto the wicked. Though the voices of them and of the chief priests prevail, the voice of the enemy that is coming against Christ, yet the enemy is not prevailing. Far from it, it is impossible. Though it may appear to be so, it is not the plans of Satan. but it is the plans of the Almighty God. It is the decree of God Himself that is going to prevail over all of the unrighteousness, and regardless of man and regardless of the devil, God Himself will bring His will to pass. We know, of course, that it could not be but that Christ had to die. That was for the salvation of that church of God. It was necessary, because when Christ had not died, then the enemy would prevail. Thus, that death of Christ that was already in that eternal council of peace, and He has already agreed in eternity that He would give Himself over even unto death for the sake of His church, then there is but one way and that church of God can be saved, and that is through the payment for their sin. Satan thought that he fought against Christ and against that church of Christ, but in reality, he fought against himself. Thus, we see something also of the ignorance of Satan, that he does not know, people of the Lord, everything. Actually, we read even of the angels, that is, the good angels, those angels which have never fallen, that they also know not everything. And they also, there are things we read that they desire to see into, and they are not able. Satan did not know how that Christ would save His church. Otherwise, He had never done what He did. And thus, Satan thought that he received here the victory. Well, there was a time that he thought that he received the victory before. That was when he had the first Adam put to death, when he was the instrument that the first Adam died. And Satan thought he had the victory. But Satan did not realize that it was through that fall that the Lord would receive His honor. Satan did not realize that it was through that fall that the mercy of the Lord that would forever be glorified, which was not possible outside of the fall. Thus Satan, in the death of that first Adam, thought to have the victory. And now in the death of that second Adam, Satan thinks to have the victory again, but he is but a fool. Ignorant of God and ignorant of His devices, and actually even an instrument in the hand of the Lord Himself to bring about the salvation of His church and the glory of the name of the Lord. No, everything does not seem to be as it is in reality. And because Satan has so much influence over his subjects, then his subjects are just as he is. They do not realize what they are doing. We read of the fire of persecution that has spread across this world throughout the ages, with the design to exterminate that people. but it was nothing but a seed to spread the word of God and to bring forth that church. Haman thought also to distinguish the Jews, that fire of that true religion that should never burn upon this world. But Haman worked only to his own destruction, and he worked in the providence of the Lord to the making of the decree which would be for the preservation of the people of the Lord. The wicked do not realize that they fulfill the counsel of the Lord, and at the same time they bring guilt upon themselves, still responsible for every thought and for every word and for every action. And that people that is the apple of the eye of the Lord. But how was a congregation for that true church? The true church also was so ignorant. Because the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they have heard from the Lord Jesus that he was going to give himself, that he was going to suffer, that he was going to die. And what does Peter say? Lord, not so. Not so. This shall not be unto thee. Oh, he also does not understand. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevail. And why a disappointment for them? Because they do not know what is good for their own soul. They do not know what they need for their own salvation. Solomon says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. And congregation, that true church has no desire to go through the deep. That true church that is fighting always to maintain themselves. But when they fight to maintain themselves, as they take out their sword, as it were, against every enemy, they do not realize even what they are doing. They do not realize that they fight against their own soul. And if God did not prevent, that church would stand in the way of their own salvation. They must be overcome themselves by the stronger one. Oh, for the church to see what is necessary, but also to agree what is necessary. That takes the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Congregation, the Lord works in a mysterious way. His own wonders to perform. It is going to be a wonder. And though the enemy seems to prevail, it is even through this seeming prevailing that Christ is going to save his people. For the church, a paradox. But what did the Lord Jesus say? He that will save his life shall lose it. And he that shall lose his life for my sake, even the same shall find it. The church must go lost. That is the ordained way of the Lord. That is the way to the salvation of their soul. That is the way to the glory of the name of the Lord. Let us sing Psalter 211, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, most holy are thy ways. and who like thee deserves my praise. Thou only doest wondrous things. The whole wide world thy glory sings. Thy outstretched arm thy people saved. Though sore distressed and long enslaved. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 211. and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Congregation, there are so many mysteries, so many perplexities, and so many questions, so often in the life of the true church of God. Rebecca, she went to the Lord and she said, "Lord, why am I thus?" She did not understand it. Jacob says, "All these things are against me." Elijah, he said, "Lord, they have killed thy prophets with the sword. They have digged down thine altars, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Paul says, "Lord, I would do good, and evil is present with me. I have a law in my members." So many questions and so many riddles in the life of the true church. The Lord leading, we read in the Word of God, the blind by a way that they know not. That is, through riddles and questions that they are not able to answer. But the Lord, he says to his disciples, "If you had but faith, if you had but faith the size of a mustard seed, then you would be able to say to this sycamore tree, 'Be thou plucked up by the roots and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." That is the reason that the Lord Jesus has told his disciples, before that they experienced it in their life, he told his disciples what they were going to experience in their life, what they were going to go through in their life, what was coming in their life. Why? So that, he says, when it comes to pass, that you may believe. Thus it was for the exercise of that faith that was planted in their heart. Why? So that in the trials, in the complexities, in the riddles, that people may be given to exercise something of that faith. What is the operation of faith in the midst of perplexities? Faith sees through the trial. Faith sees through the affliction. It sees through to the cause. It sees through to the end. It sees through to the purpose. Paul says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Things in the future. Things that I cannot see now. Things that are the hope of that true church of God. Faith is the evidence. That is what we have in our hand. Faith is the evidence that indeed it is truly going to come to pass. Thus, faith that is resting on that word that the Lord has spoken. Faith is resting upon that promise that the Lord has given, even when it cannot see through to the fulfillment. Or Abraham must say what to his child? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. No, Abraham did not know how anything would come to pass. But if God's church shall say such a thing, by true faith, as Abraham may say it, then you understand how it is so necessary that that faith is given unto that true church, but also that that promise that it is spoken unto that true church. Otherwise, they cannot rest in it. Otherwise, it is no foundation unto them. Sure, there is much assuming upon the promises of the Lord, but it can never give to us that rest. It can never give to a man that comfort as when he has received it of the Lord himself. Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Oh, and then in those times, when trial and everything is coming against it, then that people, they may have comfort. The promise of the Lord concerning the coming of that Messiah was given unto our first parents, and in them it was given to all the spiritual seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they cannot rest on it except they may hear it spoken to their own soul. It must become personal. You say, how do I know that? How do I know when it is spoken personally unto me? Congregation, the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks how? In an audible voice, young people? No. Through a dream? No more. Visions? No more. How? Through His Word. And that is when the Lord is bringing that word with power to the soul of His people. You do not then need to convince yourself. You do not. No, in that moment, then you will not be able but to receive it. And when the Lord is speaking, then the Lord is speaking in the need of His children. When did the Lord speak to our first parents? The Lord spoke to them after they had sinned and before that He sent them forth of that garden. And the Lord did not send them out of that garden in an utter despair, but He gave unto them His own promise. When did the Lord speak unto Jacob? When he was laying in that dark night, when he had to flee because of his own sin, and when you can imagine that for Jacob it had become impossible When did the Lord speak his promise unto David? When he had sinned against the Lord. And when the Lord has brought that sin home to his heart, then the Lord also spoke to David, and that he said unto him, Thou shalt not die. Thus the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming to make room for his word. And when the Lord is coming, that is so unexpected. So unexpected. Let us go back again to Adam and Eve. What could they only now expect from the Lord? There was a complete fulfillment of that threat that was pronounced against them. Should they sin against the Lord, that they should be cast out temporally and eternally out of his eternal presence. That was their expectation. Or what was the expectation also of Jacob when he had sinned against the Lord, that the Lord should never come to him again? What was the expectation of David when he had sinned against the Lord? Oh, then he had sinned everything away. What was the expectation of a Mephibosheth? And in those moments, and in that time of need, the Lord is coming to speak unto his own children and to give them hope who are without hope because of their own transgression and their own iniquity. And so the Lord is working. The greatest wonder that a man may experience in his life. What did Paul say? He says, unto me, who am the least of all the saints, is this grace given. And it is that wonder of the Lord that is so humbling that people of the Lord in the dust to say with that layman, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, it is that wonder of the Lord that makes their heart to go out after the Lord and to say, Lord, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. Oh, that is that wonder of the Lord, and that is so giving rest and peace in the heart of the people. Even before the Lord fulfills his promise, what did Hannah say? Oh, she rose up, and her countenance, we read, that was no more sad. And oh, then Hannah may sing of the great wonders of the Lord in the deliverance of his own children. Oh, that faith that is giving hope in another. That faith that is giving its hope to rest upon the Lord. That heart is going out with holy longings, hungerings and thirstings after the Lord. Is that always so? Oh, no. There came a time in the life of Abraham that he took unto him a Hagar. There came a time in the life of Abraham that he said, Oh, Lord. Lord, let Ishmael live before thee. And especially when everything seems to come against it. Oh, then to believe that is for them so impossible. Oh, Asaph, he is jealous of the wicked people, young people. Jealous of them. Until he goes into that house of the Lord. Oh, it is when everything is coming against it that exercise of that faith is so necessary. It is when the voice of them and of the chief priest, they are prevailing. When the enemy seems to have the victory in the heart of that true church of God. And that is when that true church that needs to be admonished. And it is so lovingly admonished
by the Lord. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Who among you is there that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and let him stay upon his God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. But congregation, what have we? What have we when we have no such hope in our life? And everything comes against us in our life. Then we have no comfort. No comfort in life, and we have no comfort in death. May the Lord himself give you to seek it, to find it, and to experience it, while it is still to be had for the asking. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember thy people. Thou knowest all that comes against it. Lord, Satan is never quiet. O come thou and help the afflicted and the needy and the poor who cannot see through it all. O that thou may give them a little faith to believe and to be able to take hold. And Lord, may thou so draw thy church that also in this day there may be those who may say, come and hear all ye that fear God. And I will tell you what he has done unto my soul, that in the midst of trial, as in the in the midst of Moab, then there may be those jealous ones that may so desire that God may be their God, and that people may be their people. Lord, remember each one of us. Bring us safely to our homes. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 362. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. All stanzas of Psalter 362.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.